when we don't know what our goals are, then how can we
achieve them?
Yeah. How can we achieve them or yeah, know what we're doing? It starts to feel like this hamster wheel or like we're going through the motions.
Welcome to the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries, where we explore implementing the 3D dentist systems from a team perspective. Join me, Meredith, and my co-host, Aubrey, as we share insights on cultivating growth and support within your dental team.
Whether you're new to the dental field or a seasoned pro, our podcast dives into topics like effective team dynamics and patient care strategies. Expect engaging discussions and expert insights to elevate your dental practice.
So hit subscribe and join us on this journey to transform your practice with the 3D Dentist Team Podcast, The Dental Diaries.
And like always, keep flossing and stay bossing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the 3D Dentist Team Podcast, The Dental Diaries. I am your co-host, Meredith, joined by the one and only Aubrey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We are back this week to talk about, you know, I think this is something we get asked a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with newer team members who are coming from an office who haven't tracked a lot of numbers. They have just kind of gone with the motions throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Is KPI tracker and what to look for.
Yeah. So this is our social media. A lot of you guys have been asking.
Yeah.
So,
influencer wannabes.
So today we're going to talk about KPIs.
If there was anyone to ask, it would be the number queen herself.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my one of my favorite things. This is like my wheelhouse, which I never dreamt I would say. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I remember our KPI tracker dates back to 2018. So it's really cool now to be able to see 6 years of data, you know, just accumulating and the comparisons and the growth and just everything. It's so rewarding to be able to see. So I want to give that first as a plug to all of you doctors and team members, because when you get to see the data evolve like that, like it makes it worth it.
Right.
And I know sometimes spreadsheets aren't everybody's favorite.
Right. But I think you've set it up to make it so easy that it's just kind of plug and play.
Yeah.
And for people, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, I hate running these numbers. And then a lot of them have a leader in the practice who's doing mm-hmm. this or running these reports. But I think what we talk about today, the reason they know all of this is because they're doing it themselves.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it constantly and they know why. What it's really not just what to look for, it's why we're looking at some of this.
That's what I was going to say. I think like this episode, I think, is so great for team members, because I know we talk about these numbers a lot, but it sometimes goes in one ear and out the other because we don't understand the why. Yeah. It's just, oh, I got to run all the reports and put the data in. And it's like, we're not just doing it to put the numbers in. We're doing it to really critique it and analyze it and see, okay, what did we crush last month? What can we celebrate? And then what can we do to adjust for next month to hit our goals moving forward? Yeah. So a lot of you guys, your doctors, you know, you've heard of the KPI tracker. If you're not in the mastermind program and you don't have our KPI tracker, that's one of the biggest tools that I think help move the needle for our mastermind doctors' businesses. So we're just going to go through some of the main things that we highlight on the KPI tracker. But first, I want to tell you guys what it stands for, because we had a team member the other day. She was like, so you said that we were going to do a KPI review, and her name was Katie. So she was like, is this my Katie performance interview? What does it stand for? And I was like, no, it's for key performance indicators. So KPI tracker is really to track, you know, the basics that we want to track, but you can make it as detailed as you want it to be. So it's all customizable to your practice, to what procedures you enjoy doing, anything and everything that you want to track. So the first thing that we have on the tracker is production and adjusted production. And I want to touch on that because I think the big difference for just team members to understand is that production is what we do. But adjusted production is what we actually are paid for based on or after the adjustments and insurance write-offs are taken into consideration. So write-offs and adjustments, I think, are sometimes something that we use as interchangeable, you know, words and definitions. But for the team to understand that a write-off is something that we are contracted with insurance and like forced to honor or have to eat when it comes to true production, versus adjustments are something that we do and we make that decision as a provider. So say it's a crown that we feel like clinically like we need to redo, we would make that adjustment. Say we didn't get a financial arrangement for the treatment that we did, and we just are going to eat the cost of that because we didn't discuss it with the patient. That would be an adjustment.
Or maybe it's, you know, a couple hundred dollars off and we felt like it was our responsibility
to give a discount.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those would all be examples of adjustments on the doctor's production. And so at the end of the day, again, that's your adjusted production is what truly matters.
Yeah. And running a report for these adjustments, like you said, these are things that hopefully we can learn to do better,
mm-hmm.
and places we can find where we could have not had to make adjustments, hopefully in the future.
Yeah.
And so running a report of your adjustments is a really good way to think about where we can, you know, train. And a lot of it's just communication.
Mm-hmm. And so like if you say, oh, I did $1 million in production last year, but you had 30% adjustments. And so you actually only did $700,000.
Right.
Then
that's a big difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. And it's also important to look at, okay, why were the adjustments what they were? And you're always going to have some level of them, but just tracking, okay, are they staying consistent? Or did 1 month we have like this spike in adjustments for some reason? Maybe the doctor was, you know, getting really generous or maybe like dropping the ball on treatment planning a little bit and having to like spontaneously do things that we didn't anticipate. So it's just good to have a pulse on.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot, or we've just had the chance to go in and clean up lots of accounts. Over the last couple months, we've been waiting on insurance and we're just, you know, we're time to clean it up. So we've talked about production, adjusted production. I think those are two things people really get confused. Write-offs and adjustments, another thing. You know, especially as a clinical team member, those are things that kind of just go right over our heads. Like, we don't have to worry about it. They're taking care of it. But we don't realize what difference it's making to the hard work that we're doing in the back, right?
I mean, think about how many times we just give out like ClinPro.
Yeah.
And it's like, I forgot to quote for it or collect the $35 for that or whatever the amount is.
Yeah.
And then we have to adjust that off. Like that as a team member is something that we can pay attention to. And
you just give us that ClinPro back.
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me.
Can I just have that back?
I'm going to send you a Venmo request. But then there's collections. And
That just reminded me, could you imagine like one time when I worked at this restaurant, if you messed up, you were, you know, it never really happened much, but the rule was you had to pay for half of it. So people would stop stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it happened once or twice, they never really. But could you imagine something like that? Like some of these procedures are like $1,000, $5 all the time.
That's right out of the team member's paycheck.
Like, oh, you're going to have to cover half of it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's even legal, but I mean, at least we got to eat the food.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely would get the point across.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but I think it puts it in perspective, right? That how much money is out there or having to be adjusted off. But let's get into what's really important. And that's collections.
So let's stop
talking about the money that's not coming in. And let's talk about the stuff that is.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, the doctors can do all the production in the world. But if we aren't getting paid for it, then there's a big problem.
Yeah. Like you're working hard for no money. Who wants to come to work every day and not get a paycheck?
Yeah.
Like literally no paycheck.
Yeah. No paycheck for the team members. And then obviously the doctors, not only are they hoping to get paid, but they're also having to make sure the business is making money. So collections is very important. So this ties directly into our financial menu because the more that we can do in advance and present treatment, you know, prior to doing the dentistry with the patients to minimize any surprises, just the better outcome that it yields.
Yeah.
So collections, we want to be as close to production as possible. And sometimes you'll even see it, you know, especially when you start ramping up maybe planning appointments or consults, you can even see it start to lead your production numbers because that shows you that you've got patients that are prepaying for quite a bit of treatment, which is nice.
Which is so nice, especially as a clinical team member when I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry. I can go ahead and say they're coming in for an implant. They just had their extraction graft. I can go ahead and schedule out all of their next appointments 3, 4, 6, 8 months out and not have to worry because I know that they're on a payment plan and I don't have to stop by the front or ask a treatment coordinator or make a new financial arrangement myself. It's nice to know that I'm contributing to this without having to bring a business team member in to like think about how much time that's saving.
Yeah. And it minimizes the number of team members that then have to interact, you know, down the road with the patient every single time about the same, you know, treatment plan. Yeah. That gives us time to use that manpower on so many other things.
Right. Like AR,
yeah. So before we get into AR, though, I do want to talk about collections, just because there's two forms of collections. It's patient collections, so what the patients are paying, and then there's insurance collections. So one important thing we look at as far as patient collections go is our financing. So a lot of doctors will say, you know, oh, well, we don't really need to do financing, or, you know, we have a high case acceptance rate, so our patients just like paying for, you know, the treatment outright. Or, like I said, we don't really need third-party financing. But what that tells us is that we may not be presenting enough of the larger cases, because we all know that dentistry is expensive.
Right.
Right?
Or we're presenting it one tooth or one quadrant at the time. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So we're not giving them the chance to say yes to the best, and we're not giving them the chance to say yes to all of their treatments. And we're presenting two crowns versus six crowns.
Yeah. And so a good healthy number that we love, or a goal that we want our doctors to work towards as far as their collections go with financing, is 25%. So if you have $100,000 of collections in a month and 25,000 of it was through third party financing, that's amazing. Because again, that means that you were presenting those larger treatment plans that gave patients the chance to say yes to the best. And you'll continue to see that grow too.
Right. And as you present bigger and larger cases, it will be so much more than that. Because once you're presenting full mouth rehabs and hybrids and all of these veneer cases, then hopefully
financing becomes essential at that point.
Right.
So then we can dig into the AR on the backside, because if, you know, we don't have systems in place with the financial menu, and we have, you know, patients coming in and having dentistry done, but then they're not paying for their treatment.
Blows my mind.
I know, it sounds so bizarre, but it happens.
Right.
Then our AR shoots up. AR stands for accounts receivable. And so basically, you know, I know, again, clinical team members, we hear that phrase and we're like, what does that even mean? Like, they're just always on the phone up front, calling patients to get money. And like, I hate the thought of their job because I can't imagine doing that. And so if we hate the thought of that job, why not like reverse the way that we do it and present that on the front end so that we don't have to chase patients down?
Right. Don't make anyone have to do that job.
Yeah. So what's beautiful about this is that if we collect on the front end, the chasing down of payments on the back end is minimal.
Right.
You know, it sometimes is even just, you know, insurance related or things that we can just adjust off, because, again, it was something that we maybe did internally that we didn't anticipate.
Yeah. So far for the KPI trackers that we want to look out for, we've talked about production versus adjusted production.
Yeah.
Write-offs versus adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Collections. Financial menus, AR, and what percent of financing we should be. So what else do we have for the KPIs we should look out for?
Yeah. So once we've got our AR under control, we can really dig into the clinical diversity for our practice. So this is a cool section, and again, something that's really customizable for each practice, because you want it to be about the procedures that your doctor enjoys doing.
Right.
And then also procedures that your team enjoys doing. So if you have a sleep champion or an Invisalign champion, or, you know, whatever it is, there's different things that you can track for every provider so that everybody feels like they have a piece of the pie. And so sometimes I think that's what can be overwhelming, is that you hear these big, you know, numbers for monthly goals, but it's hard to think about, like, oh my goodness, how do I personally as a hygienist help our practice get to $150,000 for the month?
Right.
Well, if I know that my personal goal is $15,000 for the month, then I can just focus on that and then reverse engineer that backwards. So $15,000 divided by 4 weeks is $3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah.
And so I can just start to pay attention to it that way versus having to worry about this big overarching number that I can't wrap my head around.
Right. Or how I'm going to be a part of that. So as a general dentistry assistant, I'm knowing that my doctor needs to do so many root canals and so many crowns this month to hit their goal. Or if my doctor does implants, that I need to make sure we have the blocks there for the number of implants that they need to hit in order to hit their goal.
Yeah.
As a aligner champion, like I did in the practice, then I knew I needed to hit, you know, 7 cases every month to do the expectations that I was to bring that to the table.
Yeah.
To help our team hit the goal, and then everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. And on the note of, you know, the hygiene side of things, it may not even be, you know, production that is something that we focus on with hygienists right. as much as case acceptance, because right. ultimately that's what's filling the doctor's schedule, which yeah. moves the needle for the business so much more than, like, you know, spending an hour talking about the value of fluoride, right. you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's just different things that every provider can use yeah. to track or use the KPI tracker for. But the last thing that we really like to pay attention to are new patients. Because we all know that new patients are, you know, the lifeline of a practice.
Absolutely.
And most new patients that come in, they need dentistry. Mm-hmm. And so if we, and they need diagnostics. And so naturally, it's just higher, more productive appointments for the hygienists, for consults, and then that ultimately fill the doctor's schedule.
Right.
So when we see increases in new patients, we'll naturally see higher production numbers. We'll see higher financing numbers because there's more dentistry to treatment plan. It just, it leads to so many more positives for the practice as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that really, you know, and new patients is one of those things that, one of those numbers that a hygienist could be tracking for mm-hmm. the whole. What we did is each team member in the practice had a number to track.
Yeah.
To try to, obviously we have the tracker that the office leader fills out, but then we have, you know, so we don't have to wait until the end of the month and it's like, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
We have a girl, each team member in the back has a number that they're kind of keeping an eye on each week.
Yeah.
And so we can tweak kind of where we are focusing our time. So for example, one hygienist does new patients, how many are scheduled, how many do we have later in the month, how many have we already seen. One hygienist does night guards.
Mm-hmm.
And then one assistant does ortho, one assistant does implants.
Yeah.
And so those are all things that help. So then that way the whole office here is, if, hey, we need to get 10 more implants in this month, it's not just all falling on one person and we're not waiting till the end of the month. It's too late.
Yeah. And we're working as a team.
Right.
Like, that's what I think is so cool about it, is that when we don't know what our goals are, then how can we
achieve them?
Yeah. How can we achieve them or know what we're doing? It just, it starts to feel like this hamster wheel, or like we're going through the motions. And so I think it gives us all motivation to just hit and meet the goals that we're hoping for. So I know that one thing that you mentioned just a minute.
Wait, is this going to be something you get asked a lot?
I did. I was about to say that, but you caught me. So office leaders and doctors that are filling this tracker out,
yeah.
a lot of times what happens is that they'll fill it out, but then we don't go over it with the team.
Right.
And so that's what I think, you know, if you guys have questions about the KPI tracker, please, like, post comments. We would love to dig deeper into this. I could ramble about the KPI tracker for hours probably.
Right.
But the most important thing you can do is put the numbers in, pay attention to it, look at what your increases, your spikes and dips are, and then review that with the team so that they are also updated and informed on what's
these numbers
going on
from.
Yeah.
Not just what they are.
Yeah. And then you can get to the point where, like you were saying, if every team member is helping track something, then they're all helping pitch in on filling out this report with you. And then it's really this nice team effort of tracking things. And if it turns into our KPI tracker, you might have like 40 tabs along the bottom of every little thing that you could possibly track. Yeah. So that's KPI trackers in a nutshell. I know that was a lot of information.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Good.
But like I said, if you've got any questions, make sure to drop some comments for us. I would love to dig deeper into those with you. And thanks for joining me today, Mayor.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Well, don't forget, guys, keep flossing and stay bossin'.